The message I want to share with you today in the continued series is a look back over 10 years of how God has used the Ranchland Church to make a difference. I know Pastor Vin sharing with us today in some way we've helped to make a difference in his life and ministry down there. And I think every church that's following Jesus Christ is here to make a difference. And so there's two basic ways that churches make a difference. That is in serving others and in saving others. And so I want to focus on that. And the lesson today is going to be different than most lessons, because I'm basically going to tell some stories. There's scriptures there on your lesson sheet that you can refer to. But I'm gonna tell some stories of the past 10 years. So we do a little reminiscing. But it's not just for nostalgia, because these stories are going to tell the evolving of a young church into a mature church. What has happened in our ministry that has helped us to grow to the point that we are, and how we can now have a base to which we can grow and go even further. So first of all, on your lesson sheet, fill in the blank, continue to in the serving of others. Continue in serving others. The lesson sheet says this quality is one that perhaps best describes the spiritual growth and maturity of our church over the past 10 years. What is happening here is precisely what the Apostle Paul described in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31. Again, I'd like for you, maybe in your quiet time or whatever, take time to read that. It's a little longer passage of scripture, but and read it in two or three different versions. You get quite a contrast in styles according to the version. But it's basically about the church being a body, that we all don't have the same spiritual gifts. We all have something to contribute, and even the lesser parts are just as important as the more visible parts. And so God puts together a group of people in a local congregation that have differing gifts. Some can teach, some can serve behind the scenes, but all of it works together. And according to Ephesians 4, that this all works together in beautiful harmony for the cause of Christ as each part does its work. And what I've been so thrilled in seeing the Ranchland Church grow in the way that we are today is I can look out and see each part having contributed to this ministry in some way. So in the context of serving others, I'm gonna share in two areas how the church has served the community, and that's going to be a little look past. And then I'm going to talk about how the church serves the body of Christ here, and that's going to be more of a current look. So here's just some, and I know that I have forgotten some of these after 10 years, as old as I am. You can't remember everything. But here's some unique ways God has used the church to serve the community over the past 10 years. One of the first memories I have, and I can't remember whether it's the first year or the second year. I kind of think it was the first year. We did the Faith in Action. A lot of churches were doing it back then. And so this was a Sunday where instead of coming to church, we went into the community to be the church. And so we worshiped that day, not through song and study. We worshiped through serving. And that first year, God blessed us with a number of people. And we had, I think it was 17 teams that went out in the community and served for a couple of hours or so when you would normally be in church worshiping. The teams went out, one team went out and cleaned up a creek and some stuff here locally. We went out to feed the homeless. One team went to Ronald McDonald House and served down there. Different teams went to nursing homes and served our senior citizens. A team or two did some home repairs. I know on a foster home that cares for several children, repairs were made. But 17 teams going out in the community. And I think that's kind of set the stage for us to be a serving and giving and sharing church and not one just inwardly focused. Because by 2007, the wildfires hit. And that's been kind of a benchmark for a lot of devastation that came through our part of the city within a block of what our where our building was. And so God used us to serve as a hub for people to come and teams to go out, governmental teams and other organizational teams. It was used for training workers for a year or so. And we took up special offerings to help people that were displaced. And so our church, again, had a great test of serving during the 2007 wildfires. Among other things, just the use of our building. When we had the building over on Thornmint, God blessed us with that building for a little over 6 years. But the building was used more than just our church. I remember back when community wanted to bring, Mayor Sanders wanted to come in and address the community. Our building was open to Mayor Sanders. A Chinese school wanted to do their graduation. Our building was open for them to come in and do their graduation. And so several times we opened our building to community needs, and I think the Boy Scouts or Cub Scouts and different ones that would come in. And also it came out of that, of using our building for the glory of God, was Celebrate Recovery, and how Melvin Thomas came and helped lead us in Celebrate Recovery to reach out to people. Our building was also used in a community to serve the community. You know, there's two ways the church serves. You serve outward, you serve inward. So we're talking about serving the community. But our Ranchland Kids Adventure Preschool was a great way to reach out into the community to see kids cared for. And Jane and her crew of workers did an awesome job back in those days. Also, we certainly have been involved and grateful for Paul and Judy Johnson and their leadership in the Thanksgiving dinners. For 9 years, and this 10th year, we couldn't get the facility, so we collected money and gave money to help several families. But to feed 700 or 1,000, as Paul thinks, whatever it is, each Thanksgiving has been a great way not only to contribute financially, but so many of you in this audience this morning have given of your time on Thanksgiving Day to go and serve the community up in the San Marcos area, seniors and people that are less fortunate and others as well. 1 year we had an opportunity through someone that was a member of our church that worked a lot with foster kids. I remember one Christmas, she brought in pictures of foster kids. I don't know, there was several kids, and what their Christmas list was. And so we had the privilege of selecting a child that we wanted to bless and go buy them whatever we could for their Christmas. And I don't know how many kids were blessed that year, but there were many. I remember that as another time of serving. Different times we served the military, collecting food at the grocery store, as well as other times of helping the military. Our building was also used in community outreach for concerts. I remember when we had, at the end of one of our vacation Bible schools, a concert by Buck Howdy. I don't know if you guys remember Buck Howdy, but he's Steve Voss, the mayor of Poway now. And his alter ego is a country singer that sings for children. And so he's now the mayor of Poway. But Buck Howdy, a Grammy-winning artist, sang in a concert. The Gospel Lads, how many times did we enjoy them coming through? I mean, our building was always packed, and what an electric atmosphere when the Gospel Lads came through. We had a guy that Scott and Kathy knew. What's his name? Yeah, that. But the fastest guitar picker in the world, and he came through a Christian man that had a great testimony and has performed for Billy Graham Crusades and others that came through in concerts. But our church was willing to give. I remember Donnie Pack and her Friday Night Live and all the interaction with a lot of the young people. Our vacation Bible schools were a great outreach into the community, and we nearly always followed that with a big carnival outside or inside. Even while we've been here at Oak Valley Middle School and not had a building, we've been a serving church as to, on a couple of occasions on their open house at the first of school, we provided teacher gifts to encourage the teachers on the night when they give extra effort. We donated 300 chairs that you're enjoying right now from our facility and other equipment. One time we had a work party repairing some of their sports equipment and different things back in the next room. We've also participated with them in what they do as a school, adopt a family at Thanksgiving and Christmas to be able to bless families even in this area that have need. We've sponsored youth baseball. We've sponsored youth soccer. We were a charter member of the 4S Ranch Foundation, which gives grants to schools and different good works around the community. And another thing we were really blessed with, for 3 or 4 years, we sponsored and co-directed the annual 4S Ranch Egg Hunt, Easter Egg Hunt. And my, what experience that was, because we would have anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 kids and parents. And we were out there putting out all the eggs and monitoring that and serving that. And it was a tremendous way for the church to go out and serve our community. We've also assisted with two different Christian thrift stores when Stacy Duty was here, and then more recently with Daniel Messiah with manpower and donated items. And so on and on. What God, see, this is the story. This is a gospel story. We might not be reading scripture, but we're reading the gospel story because this has become a serving church. The maturity of a church is seen in the way it serves. Jesus did not come to be served, he came to serve. The mark of maturity is to be a church that serves. But also I was thinking about just how the church serves within the body of Christ here. And I'm going to make this more current. I'm not going to look in the past. But I just want to mention some. And I know in mentioning some, it's dangerous when you do that because you're going to leave out some. But our church is becoming more and, well, less and less, let's say instead of more and more, less and less staff oriented. One of our core values was that we would value and honor servant leaders in the church. And even though we've had a kind of a difficult time officially ordaining and appointing deacons and deaconesses and elders and teachers and all, we've been blessed to have people serve in those roles, even without a title. Sometimes people ask, do you have elders? And I think unofficially we do. I know from my standpoint, Paul Johnson and Larry Westfall have been such an encouragement to me to walk alongside me and give me wisdom and help in the church. But also the home groups. This is where, you know, I know Scott acted like his group was the only group in the church. So, you know, that's why you were promoting Scott's group. But you may have to answer to some of these other people because we do have other groups. So we've had the McDaniels involved in small group. You know, the Lathines and McCravies have been with the senior group for a number of years and have given of themselves to the senior group. The Bullocks, the family group. The Westfalls with their group. And the Johnsons have served so much in this. And the Willises and Romeros and the young families and young adults, that God has blessed us with men and women who serve with hospitality and with wisdom and knowledge to operate our home groups, which are so much about the stability and the serving and the strength of our church. There have been other servant leaders, such as Kathy McDaniel in Operation Christmas Child, the Johnsons over the care teams and the Thanksgiving, the Westfalls with the connection team, the children's classes. You know, we've not had an officially appointed person over the children's classes, but Kathy Bullock and Judy Johnson come in to help with this, and then Teresa Day and Connie Moon, and I know Jill and Delena, and who else have been involved in teaching. I'm sure I'm missing some. Annette is church secretary, and just the ministry team of Joaquin, Mario, and myself. But also where we see serving in the church so much is the Sunday setup. I'll take just a moment just to thank the people that do this setup. Charles and Harold. I'm looking right at him, and what's your name? Charles and Harold come early about 7 o'clock every morning and every Sunday morning and bring that truck and trailer in here and start unloading. And I know Eduardo helps from time to time. And Johnny and his daughter Devin for a long time came to set up chairs early in the morning. And when you look at the time and the commitment to this, and then to come early, the coffee and donuts don't just magically appear. But Ed and Paula Villanueva and Phil and Karen Boatman and Alicia and Eddie and Laura and Larry Westfall and Greg Bullock, they take care of that. And then the communion preparation. Just think about all the ladies. I know that Billy is sick today, but she's kind of the unannounced leader of the pack, I think, back there. She'll see that that's done if no one else will. But I know many other women I see as far as people doing it on a regular basis, Eileen and Karen and Kathy, Linda and Dee, plus many others. And then the women who have served out at the name tag table in greeting, Jill and Yvonne and Connie King and Dee and Linda and many others. Then the music team. Listen, these guys put in a lot of time on Thursday and also before Thursday and after Thursday practicing. Then they get here about 7:30 or so to start. And so for 2 hours, they're setting up their things and practicing. So to Joaquin and Kale and Andrea, Deb, Will, Samir, Christy, Camille, and even Brett and Ryan, who've moved on to other congregations, come back and be our guest drummer from time to time. The tech team of Linda, Dee, Clara, Dave Gibbs, Noel, Mario, Jason, and what, Harmon? Norman? Harmon, yeah. Harmon have helped so much. And then the communion messages. Michael Pagan and Scott, Larry, Paul Johnson, Ed Villanueva, Joaquin, Mario, Greg, Dennis, and others do such a job with the communion messages. And then after the services, it's just kind of like everyone pitches in. And the chairs are stacked and everything is loaded on the trailer. I want to thank you for being a serving church. It works best when everyone is involved and not just a few are doing the bulk of the work. And in other areas, just think about the people on the prayer team over the past 10 years. Amazing contribution to our work. Even the women that did the prayer quilts, that one's going back a little bit. But also Steve, who does much of our printing that we need. Meals for the sick, most all of our women have served at one time or another. The youth group, not only those that serve them, but the way they serve. They've helped with our kids. They do dramatic presentations for us and have service projects. Also, our church has really stepped up to be a church that takes care of their own when financial needs are there. And so the finances for benevolence, not only just the special times that we've asked for it, but the behind-the-scenes giving that goes on to bless and help others. There have been a number of you that have done that. And not always with public knowledge. And I want to thank you for the way we take care of our own. Galatians 6:10 says, do good to all people, but especially to the family of believers. And so God teaches the principle of taking care of our own. And I thank God for the way people have shared. And even Kathy Bullock and others that have helped with some women's activities. And Charles and Gary with men's activities. And the list could go on and on. That was what came to my mind. But also I was thinking about, we also got a Ranchland Hall of Faith when it comes to serving the church. Jennifer Pagan, leaving us at age 34, was a model servant with her cancer. She served in the children's ministry up till she could no longer come. And she was there some Sundays when she shouldn't have been. But I thank God for the memory of Jennifer. I thank God for the memory of Donnie Ashby, who passed away way too young. But how he loved the youth group and how he loved to give of his time to the youth. I think of Carl Meisner. What a wonderful man that God blessed us with. To see the spiritual growth in him, but also from day one, even before people even knew who he was, behind the scenes serving, had a gift of hospitality and serving that was mind-blowing. And then more recently, our Angie. I just call her the queen of serving because she served so many in so many different ways. So today, I just want to, in the midst of our 10 years of celebration, I want us just to stop and just recall some things because it fortifies in us that this is in our DNA. This is who we've become. A serving, giving, sharing church where every part, every member does his or her part. And so there's harmony where we're not striving against each other, but with each other. And I thank God for that. So how can we continue this? How can we continue outreach into the community? We don't have the building like we used to have and maybe the finances that we used to have. But what can we do? And a couple of things that I just want to announce this morning. Here's just a couple of examples of what we're going to do. This summer, Mario and Jamie are going to lead us in putting together a family vacation Bible school. We've kind of bought into this thing because we have a rented facility. We can't do vacation Bible school, at least like we used to. But what we're going to do it, we're going to do a nighttime one for 3 nights. And it's going to be for families. And we're going to offer it free to the community. And so, again, that's where some of the finances will come from, our double offering on the 31st to help buy the materials and all the things for that. But we want to offer to the community a family 3-night vacation Bible school with parents and children coming. And that's going to be one of our major outreaches in the community this summer. So be looking for that January 22 through 24. And then also, just 3 or 4 weeks away, Daniel Messiah is going to bring his Open the Gates thrift store truck. And on February the 14th, Valentine's Day, we're going to love up on those that shop the thrift stores. You know, Stacy Duty, when he was here, he really ingrained in me, and I think the church as well, that many who need the thrift stores, I know there's people that don't need the thrift stores that just like to shop the thrift stores, but there's some of what he called the working poor that are dependent on the thrift stores. They can't afford to go to the malls and other. And so we're going to love the working poor on February the 14th. And so just keep that in mind. Start putting aside in your garage or wherever all the things that you can bring and fill your car with clothes and other things from your house that can be passed on to others. If you have some furniture or something that's too big, then what they will do, they'll go with the truck and get your address and come pick it up that afternoon. So be looking forward to that. We'll announce more about that. But let's continue to be a church that serves others. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, the continuing in saving others. The greatest way to make a difference is when you help someone out of darkness into the salvation and light of Jesus Christ. Daniel 12:3, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So let's talk about how God has used us in this area of evangelism, of missions. It's great that we had Pastor Vin here with us today to remind us of the mission work that we've supported and will continue to support there in Jamaica, and hope you'll take that handout and learn more about that. But when it comes to the number of people saved and the baptisms, I don't have specific records, but I would say somewhere in the past 10 years, we've baptized 100 or more, which isn't the greatest number, but I have to stop and think, there's 100 people that this ministry has made a difference in their life by introducing them to Jesus Christ and assisting in their salvation. And I thought about this just from the very first one, Kelly Prendergast. You guys remember Kelly? A young single woman, a dental assistant that came during our opening, grand opening, and found a church family and found the Lord. It was our first baptism. And how she would later come to serve in our youth ministry. And later on, she would find the love of her life. And he would take her to Sacramento, where he lived. So she's now Kelly Frazier. But Kelly and her husband are both serving in a church up there. He in the worship band. And she continues to work with middle school girls that she learned here. Our first baptism. All the way down to our latest, Linda Reberg, who also came during our opening. But having been recently widowed and losing her husband long before she ever dreamed, she was a woman that needed some healing, needed some stability. And I'm grateful how God worked with space and grace in her life and recently completing her walk with the Lord and being baptized into Jesus Christ. We have baptized people in our, when we had the portable baptistry in our building, to jacuzzis at apartment complexes, to backyard swimming pools. Scott and Kathy have used their backyard swimming pool to baptize the people that they have reached out to. I was asking them before, and we were going around counting how many. And in the past 10 years or so, Scott has studied with, and Kathy too, and baptized 16 people on their own in their own backyard swimming pool. Amen. Two of their kids, well, yeah, two sitting right here as witnesses. Y'all will attest to that, huh? All right. Was the water warm when you... Okay, all right. And but also two of their kids and six of their grandkids and his business partner and a friend of Kathy's, and the list goes on. But I think about how wonderful that is. And Greg and Kathy Bullock are teaching the kids this morning about how they have become kind of the unofficial church baptistry with their backyard always open to have a baptism in their backyard. And so we've baptized people in baptistries and jacuzzis and swimming pools in the crisp temperatures of the ocean to also rivers and beaches in Jamaica. Amen. Amen. Hey, my grandson, my oldest grandson, was baptized in a Jamaica river. I praise God for that. Amen. And so today I just want to stop and thank God for all who've come to know the Lord and have been saved over the past 10 years in our ministry. And we will continue in that. Amen. Also, our ministry as far as evangelism has taken a little different view or a little different slant than maybe we started out to. Part of our original mission, our vision statement, we'd become a church that plants other churches. And even though it hasn't happened the way we should, I want to show you real quickly the thread of God in planting new churches that reach new people for Christ. Stadia New Church Strategies is an organization we partnered with back in late 2004 when I was contemplating planting a church, and we were closing a church and was going to have the funds to do it. And so in 2004 and 2005, I got some training with them, and they came alongside us as a partner to help start the Ranchland Church. And first of all, Stadia was a fairly new organization at that time. And in the past 10 years, they have started over 500 independent Christian churches. So God has really blessed them, and they're now going at about a 70 to 80 a year clip at the moment. So God is really blessing them. But back in San Diego, back in the 50s and 60s, there weren't hardly any independent Christian churches. And God used a man over in Lakeside by the name of Elmer Jenkins. And he and his wife worked hard and would establish a church and then move over to establish one in Lakeside and one in Lemon Grove. And I don't remember. But anyway, about six churches, I think, that they established became kind of the heart of the independent Christian church growth movement in this area. But by 2005 and 2006, there was no independent Christian church in the city limits of San Diego, San Diego being the eighth largest city in the nation, until Ranchland began. And when we began, we had the funds not only to fund Ranchland, but also to fund a church called Life Point Christian Church and another one, City Walk Christian Church. And we even helped financially a new church in Bakersfield. And then later, another Stadia church that we had a little bit of help with was the Momentum Christian Church down in Chula Vista. I know on their opening day, we took not only a gift of some money, but a gift of several workers that went down and ran their children's ministry on their opening day so all their people could be a part of the festivities. They, in turn, have now given birth to two more churches, Rise City in Santee and Grace City in UTC. And then in 2009, out of Ranchland, Troy and Mario went to Texas, to McKinney, Texas, to start a church that they wanted to name Ranchland Christian Church. Should have trademarked that name. We could have been getting some royalty. But we gave them our blessings in doing so. And that church is still going strong to this day. Also out of our group came a new church in Torrey Highlands. A house church movement. And we gave some assistance with New Vintage Church in Escondido. Melvin Thomas left to aid a small church in Vista. And even Stadia added another church more recently in San Marcos. So all in all, going back 10 years, 12 new churches have had some type of connection and support from and with Ranchland. And then I didn't realize this till we were talking about it, because we just came along and started helping Sav Lamar in Jamaica, but they were actually a new church plant in 2003. So that fits right into our church planting culture. So God has used us in ways sometimes we don't recognize. Let me take it one step further. He's also used us in the bringing up of Christian leaders and ministers. God has used our church to bless people in ministry. I know in the first couple of years, people were coming from different churches and different backgrounds. And at one time, I counted 12 different ministers who had one time been full-time at a church that were in our church just needing some time of healing and refocusing. Some of them have moved on to other churches or other occupations, but it was a time for them to receive their healing. But what has happened over the past 10 years is a number of young men have gotten their start in ministry. Obviously, Ben, who's now with the church in Chattanooga, came with no experience, but he's now the worship director and a great minister of the gospel. Thomas Gray is now the worship minister in Eastvale, California. Dave Swanson is now the worship minister for the church in Lakeside. Joaquin is now the worship minister at Ranchland. Mario Romero, he and his wife both baptized here and have become a church planter in Texas and now back serving us as assistant minister. Melvin Thomas in Vista. Troy Gardner, not only the church planter, but now serving in a very significant role at Hope International University, a Christian university, as church relations director. And even things like Zach Bullock, one of our college boys, working with Summit Ministries in the summer, and Ryan Dunn and Brett Brewer and Lee Hayes, all former drummers here, now sharing their talents with other churches. I love the way our church has embraced people from all walks of life, and even the young ones, to be able to get a taste of ministry and to use their life to the fullest. I believe that's the mark of a mature church. And we want to continue in this vein. And one of the things I want to announce today, I don't remember if this got on your lesson outline or not, but in addition to the Vacation Bible School, and I appreciate Brother Vin giving us a charge for 2016, because we want to baptize 16 people in 16. That's going to be our goal, to baptize 16 people in 2016, and that will be many more than we have at our current size, but that's going to be a great challenge for us. So as we move forward, our idea is to take what God has blessed us as a strength and continue to do more and more. And these are two of the strengths, the evangelistic focus and the serving of others. Let's continue to grow. Let's bow together in prayer. Father God, thank you for this time. Thank you so much for Pastor Vin sharing and encouraging us in Scripture to take advantage and look for what you want to bless us with, to be expectant in our dealings with you in this year 2016. So thank you, God, for how you've used us and blessed us. Thank you for the memories we have, but Father, it's not about what has been done. It's how we can use what we have in a greater way. So help the foundation upon which this church has been built to bless the community, bless members of this church, and to bless people in their salvation as well. In Jesus' name, amen.